Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com, proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
710 ESPN.
ESPN.
It's 8 o'clock on Lakers Talk.
Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
Time for Alan Sliwa to bring you the top 8 stories from around the NBA and the world of hoops. It's the Top 8 at 8
with Alan Sliwa.
Let's go.
All right, Top 8 at 8. Number one, Bucks co-owner and governor Mark Lasry has told Giannis Antetokounmpo that the franchise is willing to spend into the luxury to deliver a championship-supporting cast. All right, let's talk some Milwaukee Bucks here. Yeah, it's a smart thing to do. It's what you got to do. Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're not getting another Giannis Antetokounmpo. You have no choice but to go into the luxury. Because what are you going to do as a franchise if you decide, or if you let Giannis Antetokounmpo walk? Now, I said this last week. What I said was, even if Giannis decides, I'm going to give you guys one more year, you got to figure out. And even if Giannis Antetokounmpo decides after that 1 year that he's going to do something like Kevin Durant or LeBron James, where they walk, they go to a different team, and they compete for an NBA championship somewhere else. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you got no choice. You got to play out this year. And you have to do everything you can to convince Giannis Antetokounmpo that this is one of the best opportunities he's going to have in the NBA to win an NBA championship. But it's not just on the Milwaukee Bucks. This is also on Giannis. You know, so much of the time we talk about ownership. Ownership's not doing enough. Ownership's got to do this. Ownership's got to do that. Players have to get better too. Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to win 2 back-to-back MVPs. And I most definitely don't think he's the most valuable player in the NBA. If we did a draft today and you said, Alan, what players would you take before Giannis Antetokounmpo? I would take LeBron. I'd take KD. I'd take Anthony Davis. I'd take Kawhi Leonard. There are players out there I'd take before Giannis. You want to know why? I take them because Giannis's game is not complete. One of the main reasons why the Milwaukee Bucks have lost 2 years in a row in the postseason and have not got to the Eastern or have not got to the finals, even though they had the best record, Giannis's game is still too raw. Teams know how to play him. Guy's not going to hit a jumper. You let him do it. The guy's obviously not a threat from the outside. You let him take as many of those threes as you possibly want. So this is not just on the ownership of the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis has to improve as a player. You know, I tried making this comp. You guys remember Dwight Howard back in 2009 with the Orlando Magic? You know what a beast Dwight Howard was? But you know the most important thing about Dwight Howard at that stage of his career? He didn't ask for the ball. He didn't have to have plays ran for him. He didn't have to post up 10 times. And as Dwight Howard, as his career progressed, he asked for the ball more. He started playing to some of his weaknesses rather than some of his strengths. Either Giannis Antetokounmpo becomes a better offensive player, or Giannis Antetokounmpo becomes a player where it's more about blocking shots, getting rebounds, getting in putbacks, not running plays for him. His game's just too raw. Now maybe his game improves. That's what really needs to happen. All right, top 8 at 8. Number 2. Mike D'Antoni has told the Rockets he will become a free agent this summer. What am I missing here? Aren't coaches supposed to get fired, not that they walk away in free agency? Mike D'Antoni just fired the Houston Rockets. How did that just happen? I haven't seen that happen enough. A strong move by Mike D'Antoni. But this is what I'm trying to understand. Your team loses in the postseason year in and year out. You have a style of basketball that is proven to only get you so far. You don't have a championship under your belt, nor have you really been a real threat to an NBA championship. Yet Mike D'Antoni waves bye to the Houston Rockets, and supposedly there's other teams waiting for his service. Help me understand this one. I don't get it. I really don't. Think of all those NBA coaches that are out there that get the boot And it's incredibly difficult to get a job again, or maybe they have to go to an assistant coach to then get back. Mike D'Antoni has figured it out. Supposedly he's a candidate for the Philadelphia 76ers, and we've heard his name for the Pacers job as well. Mike D'Antoni has mastered survival in the NBA, and you don't even have to be a real threat to an NBA championship. I don't know if I should criticize the Rockets or should I tip my hat to Mike D'Antoni. I guess keep getting those checks. All right, top 8 at 8. Number 3. What should the Rockets do this offseason? Top 8 at 8, by the way. We're going stories around the NBA. We'll get back into Lakers talking in the next segment. By the way, Brian Windhorst coming up at 8:30. Okay, let's keep going here. Distracted myself. What should the Rockets do this offseason? How do you compete if you're the Houston Rockets? How do you compete this upcoming season if you're the Houston Rockets? You tried something that I was actually in favor of. I didn't think they were going to do anything with Clint Capella. All right, roll the dice. Take your chances. Covington comes in. Go Tucker, Russell Westbrook, the whole nine yards. This is the competition next year in the Western Conference. And I point this out because when I'm saying how are they going to compete with the Lakers, the Clippers next season, how about the Golden State Warriors that nobody's talking about? Warriors are going to be a threat next year. No question about it. They're going to be dangerous. How about the Jazz? How about the Nuggets? How about the Blazers? How about these second-tier teams like the Pelicans, Memphis, the Phoenix Suns, San Antonio Spurs? How are the Houston Rockets? I'm not talking about making the playoffs. I'm talking about competing. I think they got to make some major moves this offseason. I think Russell Westbrook 100% should be a name that they shop around. They don't have any other real assets. And I don't know what style they're going to play now that Mike D'Antoni is not going to be there anymore, but you got to use some of these assets. You can't ask Russell Westbrook to come play for a Houston Rockets team that wants to fire off 50 to 63 pointers a game and have Russell Westbrook in a position where that's not his role. Maybe you can go out there. You can go try to get a player like Tobias Harris or DeMar DeRozan or that type of player that makes sense for that system. I think the Houston Rockets definitely got to blow it up. Okay, top 8 at 8, number 4. Should the Toronto Raptors blow things up? Should the Toronto Raptors decide, okay, we had our run, and let's now kind of start thinking big picture and long term. First of all, let me just say this about the Toronto Raptors. No matter what Masai Ujiri decides to do, and no matter what the Toronto Raptors do, which were eliminated in Game 7 of the against the Boston Celtics in the East, mission accomplished. When you already have an NBA championship under your belt, of course, you're going to try as best as you can to put yourself back in that position again, but the Toronto Raptors are in a fantastic position. Fred VanVleet, Marc Gasol, and Serge Ibaka are all free agents. Lowry only has 1 year left on his contract. If I'm the Toronto Raptors, I start rebuilding. I start rebuilding around Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. I trust in our draft picks. I trust in the future. And you just kind of start building long-term. You know what's going to happen in the Eastern Conference? The Toronto Raptors are only going to fade further and further out of the picture. Boston's getting better. We know where the Philadelphia 76ers, their potential. Miami Heat are in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Milwaukee Bucks had the best record in the East last couple of years. If I'm the Toronto Raptors, I appreciate the run that those players gave me, but I start preparing for the future. All right, top 8 at 8. Number 5. Lonzo Ball signs with Clutch Sports. He says, I wanted to lead my career. Picking my own representation just solely as my decision was step one in that process. For me, it was an easy call, and it was the right time to make that call. So Lonzo Ball will be represented by Clutch Sports. Of course, we know the ties with Clutch Sports and LeBron James. Let me say this real quick on Lonzo Ball. I don't fault anything Lonzo Ball has gone through in his career, and I don't blame him for anything. Lonzo Ball wasn't drafted number 2 and was told that don't break all those records up in the rafters. Lonzo Ball wasn't out, you know, mouthing around and telling everybody how unbelievable he was and how him and his brothers are going to take over the NBA. Lonzo's just been in this predicament where I think one of the things Lonzo Ball needs to do, and this is a perfect example, start taking control of your own situation. Start calling your own shots. Start making things happen on your own. Don't worry about everybody else. And Lonzo Ball, I think, took a big step in joining Clutch Sports. There's been some failures that have been associated with Lonzo Ball. If I'm Lonzo Ball, I worry about one thing. How can I be a better basketball player? Everything else is going to take care of itself. Everything else will just figure itself out. I know this about Lonzo. He's a young point guard. He plays tough defense. He's very, very unselfish, sometimes too unselfish. He's got a great eye for dishing the ball and creating for others, but he's got a lot of holes in his game. If I'm Lonzo Ball, go get with Clutch Sports. You got an opportunity in New Orleans to play with a young team, to set up guys like Brandon Ingram and set up guys like Zion Williamson. Turn the page and keep going on your own. So there's some news there on Lonzo Ball. All right, top 8 at 8. Number 6, Eastern Conference tomorrow. Game 1 between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Not enough people are talking about this series. I don't feel like there's a lot of people talking about this series. I think actually it's going to be a really, really good series. Very competitive. Boston took 2-1 during the regular season against the Miami Heat. Okay, I got a prediction. My prediction, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics, I'm going to go Heat in 6. Heat in 6. I think a lot of people are actually starting to take Boston in this series. Boston can easily win the series, by the way. Gordon Hayward is expected to return to the series. He is out for game 1, so just a heads up on that. So Boston looks like they could be getting some reinforcement. I just think Miami has this grit, this kind of style of ugliness and toughness that will be and veterans on this team, that will be the difference in the series. Tatum's the man. Jaylen Brown is extremely good. But just don't have the experience. Now, Kemba Walker and Jimmy Butler both drafted the same year, so I'm sure both of these guys battling out to get to the NBA Finals. I'm going to give Miami the edge. Should be a good series. Don't sleep on this series. I know we're all talking about the Lakers and who they're going to play in the Western Conference Finals and what's wrong with the Los Angeles Clippers and blah, blah, blah. But don't sleep on this East. I think the Eastern Conference Finals will be very entertaining. Top 8 at 8. That's number 6 right there. Number 7, Game 7. Between the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers. Nuggets Nation, as I call it. I got a lot of heat yesterday for Nuggets Nation. What do you want me to do? I want the Clippers to lose. I don't expect Denver to win Game 7. I don't. I expect the Lakers and the Clippers to be in the Western Conference Finals. And frankly, isn't it supposed to be this way? Isn't it supposed to be the Lakers versus the Clippers? Isn't it supposed to be Steve Ballmer and the Buss family versus the Buss family? Isn't it supposed to be Doc Rivers, who won an NBA championship, lost an NBA championship against the Lakers when he was in Boston? Isn't it supposed to be LeBron James versus Kawhi Leonard? Like, isn't it supposed to be that? I think by the end of tomorrow, that's what it's going to be. But if it is the Denver Nuggets, I had somebody hit me up on Twitter and say, you're not giving the Nuggets enough credit. It's not that I don't want to give them credit. It's my expectation for the Clippers was incredibly high. And that expectation obviously needs to be adjusted because the Denver Nuggets have played great basketball, but it's the Clippers that have blown those big-time leads. Game 7 tomorrow, just a reminder, Nuggets, Clippers, Lakers waiting until Friday for the Western Conference Finals. All right, my final one, top 8 at 8, number 8. Did you guys see Pau Gasol and his wife honor the Bryant family? Pau and his wife just had their first daughter, and they named their child Elizabeth Gianna Gasol. What a beautiful gesture. And that is, you know, nothing surprises me about Marcus or about Pau Gasol. And I remember Ireland telling me a story about one night they got back and they were in Memphis. They got on the plane and they were in Memphis and they got in like at 2:30 in the morning or something along those lines. And Pau takes a separate car. He's not going with the team on a bus. And I think John Ireland asked at the time, it was John Black, who was the Lakers, the head of public relations. and they had told him that, yeah, Pau Gasol is going to, he does a Make-A-Wish and foundations. I think it was the Children's Hospital, and he promised that he was going to do it. So it didn't matter what time, there was Pau Gasol going to the hospital. Pau Gasol is one of my favorite Los Angeles Lakers. Not only did he produce for the Lakers when he was on the court, not only was Pau Gasol a champion and a winner, not only was his game unbelievable and beautiful and, you know, one of those European players that you just kind of marvel at his skill set, but Pau Gasol was probably a much better player, a much better person off the court than a player that he was on the court. And he's a Hall of Famer and he's an NBA champion. Hats off to Pau Gasol and his wife. They named their child Elizabeth Gianna Gasol in honor of the Bryant family and, of course, that tragedy. All right, that's our top 8 at 8. When we come back, Clips is coming up next. You know what Clips are? Clips is when I take clips from other shows that I feel are relevant, that are good. I got some good stuff from Stephen A. Smith, some good stuff from Max Kellerman. That's coming up next. Plus, I'll continue to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers and the wait. We're in a waiting period now. Now we just kind of kick back and we wait for the Western Conference Finals. And we got to wait till tomorrow to find out who the Lakers are going to play. Stay right here. Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
How good was yesterday? How good was that yesterday? We get to kick back yesterday and watch at 10 a.m. NBA started, and you had all the NFL games going on. And, of course, Rams and the Cowboys, the Sunday night game. I didn't know what to do with myself. Too much sports on. Tomorrow we have two games. So just a reminder, Heat-Celtics is the first game, 3:40. And then Nuggets-Clippers, it's a 6 o'clock game. Those are the two games coming up tomorrow. Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman on First Take. We're talking about the Clippers' loss from Sunday and what happens here in Game 7, how much pressure is on this Clippers team. I do want to play this because it's going to go right into part of the conversation of really if you have a preference now. Would you prefer playing the Clippers? Would you prefer playing the Denver Nuggets? Do you have a preference? Is it one of those where you just take whichever team? I still feel like it's supposed to be the Clippers. You know, deep down, don't get me wrong, I'm rooting for the Nuggets tomorrow. But deep down, isn't it supposed to be the Clippers? Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Angeles Clippers, Max Kellerman. It was one of these rare occasions where I think you can look at a loss and say Kawhi Leonard had everything to do with that loss. Turnovers, missed shots he would normally make, turnovers he wouldn't make normally he was making, ill-advised shots, passing up other shots instead of taking over. Him and Paul George have got to step it up. Paul George shot 9 of 21 from the field. He's got to get more accurate and more aggressive in this Game 7. But Kawhi Leonard has to be that dude. This is what you came to L.A. for, my man. Handle your business. And also, you know how much I feel for Doc Rivers. I think he's a phenomenal coach and a phenomenal leader, and I love him dearly. But if he loses this game, that would be 13-23, I think, in like closeout games or whatever. That's not a good thing to have on your resume. And I don't know how Steve Ballmer is going to look at him if they lose this series along with that coaching staff. So it's a lot at stake. We'll see what happens. I still think the Clippers are going to win Game 7, though.
What if the Clippers lost that game tomorrow? What if up 3-1, they end up losing to the Denver Nuggets in a 7-game set, and this, you know, this theme continues. They would have never made it to the Western Conference Finals again. If you'd have told me to bet some big money, who's going to be in the West Finals? First of all, I probably wouldn't have bet because I don't have big money to bet. But, you know, everybody would have said, come on, it's no question. Denver Nuggets are, they got no shot against the Los Angeles Clippers. That's what I was saying. But it's not even that they have no shot against the Clippers. It's how Denver is doing it and how the Los Angeles Clippers are losing, are kind of letting it slip away. up 3-1, and in the last 2 games for the Clippers, they blow not 7-point leads, not 10-point leads. They blew a 16-point lead. They blew a 19-point lead. Max Kellerman, by the way, who you can hear every day, Monday through Friday, here right here on 710 ESPN from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. following or right before Mason in Ireland. You know Kellerman's been picking the Clippers all year long. His stance is not changing.
So I still like the Clippers to win the championship. I still say it's because they have Kawhi Leonard. He was not the best player on the floor last night. They might be lucky to still be playing right now. And LeBron James, who I said Kawhi had taken the crown from, or at least it's vacant, and they're going to find out right now who the champ is when they meet. LeBron took care of business, Kawhi. He's waiting for you. You have to meet that challenge now and go be the best player on the floor in Game 7 to advance. And by the way, that's not easy because Jamal Murray and Jokic are ballers.
As of right now, I don't think you can say, well, Kawhi, LeBron's waiting for you. LeBron's in a different class. If you want to talk, if you want to make some comparisons to Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis, you can do that. Kawhi in the postseason averaging 29 points, 9.5 rebounds. Anthony Davis averaging 28 points, 11 rebounds. Kawhi with 5.5 assists a game, AD with 4 assists. Kawhi 2.3 steals a game, AD with a block and a half. If you want to make comparisons to another player on the Lakers, you're much better off making a comparison between Kawhi and AD because LeBron is in a different conversation than Anthony Davis, than Kawhi Leonard, than Paul George. None of those players are in that chat, in that conversation. I think, you know, we are giving Kawhi Leonard too much credit. Sometimes that happens. I almost feel like we give Kawhi too much credit because we see what he's doing and he's a playmaker for himself. It's a different ball game when you not only control your own scoring, but you also control your teammates' scoring. That's what LeBron James has been doing. What does Doc Rivers think about Game 7?
I don't know what it is right now, but it'll be good by Game 7. You know, listen, I thought once Murray went down with that injury, from that point on the game, the complexion of the game completely changed. I thought we were the more physical team. We were attacking. We were getting into the paint. And from that point on, if you look at that point on, it was a reverse of scripts. You know, I really, and I used all my timeouts just to try to get us to keep playing the way we've played each game to get these leads. You know, it was beautiful basketball, and then we stopped playing.
You know, during that game yesterday, and this was part of the conversation I had with head coach Frank Vogel. By the way, if you missed it, head coach Frank Vogel was on about an hour ago. You can catch that entire interview on the ESPN app or on iTunes. But watching that game yesterday, and I was trying to think to myself, I'm like, are Lakers better off with this much rest, or are they better off just kind of rolling with the punches right now, just how well they're playing? And when the Clippers lost that game and then you knew you weren't going to play until Friday, I know Michael Thompson was very happy. When you knew they weren't going to play until Friday, I think this is actually going to play to the Lakers' advantage. I really do. Now, what happens tomorrow, and from a matchup perspective, if you'd rather play the Clippers or you'd rather play the Denver Nuggets or whatever the case is, we're going to find out tomorrow if these Los Angeles Clippers, who I set to start the show that I thought are overrated, we're going to find out if in the biggest moment of their, you know, short time together, if they deliver or if they fold. Paul George, this is probably one of the quotes I was so confused about yesterday, about Paul George in regards to where the Clippers are.
It's positive. I mean, this group staying together. We're still in the driver's seat. I mean, it's not a panic mode. We got a game 7. I like our odds with our group. We put ourselves in this position, and it's on us to get ourselves out of it. But it just comes down to what we do on game 7.
Driver's seat. You know, when you're going into a game 7, you've lost 2 games in a row and you blew big leads like that. I don't know how you could call that a driver's seat. You know, if he said something like, we got to play the best game that we've played all series, and it's important that we're all pulling the rope in the same direction. You know, it's some kind of cliches like that, but driver's seat, I don't see the driver's seat anywhere. I think that's a bad reference to have. And listen, we could be sitting here 24 hours from now and the Clippers could have beat the Denver Nuggets by 20 points. And I wouldn't even be shocked because that's what they're supposed to do. But if we're sitting here 24 hours from now and it's the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, damn, I would have some questions for that Los Angeles Clippers team, a team that supposedly has everything and they got more depth and their bench is unbelievable and Kawhi is on a different level and Doc Rivers and all that. And they don't get past tomorrow. That certainly raises a lot of questions. All right, Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN. He'll give us a little bit of a preview of the games tomorrow. I want to get his thoughts on how the Los Angeles Lakers have played so far and what he expects with either matchup in the Western Conference Finals. We'll do all that coming up next. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Lakers Talk. As always, a frequent guest of the show. Always appreciate his insight. Brian Windhorst taking some time to join Lakers Talk. What's going on, Brian? How are you doing?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Doing good. Doing okay. I guess we'll get started right away here. I got to get your opinion on this, and I got a chance to listen to you a little bit earlier today on The Jump, and I want to get your thoughts on the two games that we got coming up tomorrow. Let's start with the Clippers and the Nuggets. Just how surprised are you that the Clippers are in this position? Just the fact that they're playing seven games against the Denver Nuggets, and probably most importantly, three different times this postseason where they're blowing leads of 15 points plus. How surprised are you that the Clippers are in this spot?
Yeah, you know, as the postseason has gone on, you start to ask yourself, like, is this all there is with the Clippers? They're not playing at their top form. Montrezl Harrell is not the guy we saw in the regular season. Lou Williams is not the guy he's been for most of his career. But, you know, there was this belief that this team would hit its stride, and they have been fully healthy. Unlike many other teams in the postseason, they've been fully healthy. And so, yes, they've had some difficult circumstances, but for the most part, they've had things go their way. And as you watch them, you know, for a while, I and others were saying, well, this is a focus issue. They're just not focusing. They're like many very talented teams. They don't play unless they're put against the wall. But the more that I watch them, the more that I say to myself, maybe this is all there is. Hmm. And if that's the case, then that's a real problem because the Clippers were designed to win a championship right now. Right now. Not next year. Mm-hmm. Not in 2 years. Right now. And they are all aware of that. Every single player on that roster knows exactly what's going on, the coaching staff, the front office, everybody. It's not some media myth. And watching them perform, watching their preparation, watching their execution is not a championship level. And they have all their things are still on the table, Alan. They still can win this series. They still could beat the Lakers and win the championship. But this is not part of the plan, and it makes you wonder, is this who they really are, what we're seeing right now?
Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN, joining Lakers Talk. Yeah, Brian, and this is why I wanted to spend some time on this, because I'm kind of in a similar perspective. And I mentioned this yesterday, and I'm talking to myself when I say it. I say that I think the Clippers are overrated. I overrated them. To this point, I thought that this Clippers team, same one that you're talking about, okay, they're definitely not going to blow. Okay, they're up 3-1. They're going to handle business. They're actually going to be in the Western Conference Finals before the Lakers. I have convinced myself that there's just too much talent there. They got the ability to play kind of a rough style. If they got a couple stars, you know, so it felt like they have everything. But at the same time, you know, watching the playoffs progress,
doesn't it feel like something is missing? And I don't know if it's a chemistry thing. I don't know if it's too much isolation ball, but I feel like something's missing where when I watch the Los Angeles Lakers, we'll get to the Lakers a little bit later, there's at least more unity, maybe. I don't know if that's the best way to put it. Would you agree with that, or do you think my assessment of the Clippers is a little bit off?
No, I agree. I think the Lakers as a team are closer, although I'm not sure that makes a difference. What I would say is that the way the Clippers were built, there should be no bad matchups. You know, for example, the Bucks might have made the finals had they not had to play the Heat. But they played the Heat, it was a bad matchup, and that just sometimes happens in basketball. The Clippers, for example, they have, just look at the center position on the Clippers as an example. Big hulking center, they've got one. Mm-hmm. Small ball center, Montrezl Harrell, they've got one. Stretch the floor center, Marcus Morris, they've got one. In theory, this team was built for everything. They've got, they can play big, they can play small, they can play fast, they can play slow, they can play pick and roll, they can play isolation, they can spread the floor. You know, they can, you know, their bench was allegedly, and I say allegedly because their bench has been soundly outplayed in this series, they allegedly had the best bench in the league. They had two of the top three vote getters for sixth man. This team, one of the reasons why this team was believed to be a championship contender was one, that they had two incredible two-way wing players, which are the guts of a championship team. And two, because they had all of those different layers, so that a bad matchup or an injury or foul trouble or anything like that shouldn't stop them. It was a team of depth and width and experience, and they had champions on that roster, a championship coach. And so they really, in all honesty, have no excuse. And so you're looking for reasons, and I've looked for reasons. If they don't do it, there is nothing to blame but their flat-out execution, and in some cases I think their conditioning, because I don't think all their players are in the best condition. And I think, you know, that's a factor that they have to examine no matter how this series concludes.
With all that said, Brian, do you expect if you give an edge to one of these two teams tomorrow, Nuggets obviously playing with an extreme amount of confidence and nothing to lose attitude. Jokic mentioned that yesterday. Who do you give the edge to tomorrow night?
I mean, I guess I give it to the Clippers, but
I'm with you.
I mean, the Nuggets are keeping telling us that they are playing as a better team. I mean, you know, in a vacuum, do I think the Nuggets are a better team? No, but this is not a vacuum. It's a bubble, in fact. And that is not the way things are going. So, I would say to you that I think picking this game is just a guess. I really have no idea how it's going to play. And the other thing is, if the Clippers, because sometimes you do see this where one team sort of wakes up. Let's say the Clippers could come out in the first quarter tomorrow and take a 30-10 lead. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean anything. There's almost nothing the Clippers can do except for actually do the job to where I'm going to think that they're going to win the game.
Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN, joining Lakers Talk here. We're talking about the two big games coming up tomorrow, Clippers and the Nuggets. That's a 6 p.m. tip-off. The game before that will be Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals starting at 3:40, the Heat and the Boston Celtics. Brian, before I get into the Lakers, your thoughts on that Eastern Conference Finals matchup. Who do you like in this series? And maybe you can kind of just talk a little bit about what kind of matchup that you expect.
Yeah, so as I said before, the Bucks were a really good matchup for the Heat. Their personnel and style of play really gave them some advantages. And then they backed it up by having great execution. And then, you know, the opposite of the Clippers, they are in tremendous condition. Hmm. You know, the Heat, this is what they hang their hat on, but it really shows up in a situation like this. The Heat just were able to run all day. And so it's not the same matchup advantage against the Celtics. In fact, you could even argue that this matchup favors the Celtics. The Celtics are the best team in the bubble at defending the three. Miami's defense is predicated on the three. The Heat's, one of their great advantages is that they can go very small and very versatile with Bam Adebayo. They're able to play center and they're able to move Jimmy Butler around. The Celtics can play an all-small lineup, especially if Gordon Hayward comes back in this series. So I think the matchups favor Boston. Also, Boston his execution has been amazing. Ever since Gordon Hayward went down in game one of the playoffs, I thought they were going to take a step back. They have supercharged. They have gotten better play from their guys. So, you know, they are a team that has suffered some losses. You know, they're, you know, Miami has been virtually unbeatable. You know, the Celtics have taken some L's. But I do believe that the Celtics, you know, the matchup will be better for them. And I think having played Toronto, who's a more half-court-oriented team, just like Miami is, I think that will prepare them as well.
Yeah, it is, Brian. You know, all this chatter about, and don't get me wrong, I bought into the hype and I'm buying into the hype, the Western Conference Finals, and we'll see who the Lakers end up facing off against. I like this East matchup. I just got a feeling the Eastern Conference, even when it was the final four teams and it was Bucks and Toronto in there as well, we sometimes overlook the Eastern Conference. There's just a handful of teams that are so good in the Western Conference. I love the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay, I waited long enough. I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, the games tomorrow and what you thought of the Clippers. As I shift to the Los Angeles Lakers, they take care of the Portland Trailblazers in five. They take care of the Rockets in five. They have shown that they adjust within the series and certainly have looked good through the first 10 games. Can you give me just your overview on what you thought of the Lakers so far, and do you feel that they are the favorites? It doesn't matter who comes out of the West, they'll be the favorites the rest of the way, or do you think it's another team?
Yeah, you know, the Lakers typically are always the favorites when it comes to betting, because the Lakers fans love to bet on their team so much. But, Alan, I've got my toes on the line here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can 100% say this, but I'm feeling that this may be the first time in LeBron's career where his team has been actually underrated.
Hmm.
You know, the people did not see this as a number one seed at the start of the season. They did not see this as a team that was going to fly through at 8-2 the first two rounds. I mean, I did not think that the Blazers would beat the Lakers, but I thought they would give them a heck of a lot bigger trouble. You know, I thought that Rocket series was going to be a battle, and the Lakers basically from day one have exceeded the expectations. Now, maybe they wouldn't say that. Maybe a lot of Lakers fans wouldn't say that, and they shouldn't. You know, Lakers fans should believe in their team. But this is something unusual that people have doubted LeBron. And what you're seeing here is playoff LeBron James. You know, there were plenty of years where the Eastern Conference, you know, the Cavs may not have had the best overall team. You know, the sum of the parts was always greater because LeBron could just get stuff from his teammates. He could get Tristan Thompson to do a certain thing. He could get J.R. Smith or Daniel Gibson or pick your role player. He could just get stuff out of them. And we see that. We see that. And the emergence of Rondo, and like, let's just be honest. Rondo was not good this season. Mm-hmm. He was not good. Even the staunchest Rondo defender would say that he was not good. But the way he has played has not only taken pressure off of LeBron, but has been a huge uplifting. Because the idea that the first two guys off of the Laker bench, and it'll be different in the next series because they'll probably be playing a center. But the idea that the first two guys off the Laker bench were Alex Caruso and Rajon Rondo, and the first two guys off the Clipper bench were Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, you would say that that's a laughable comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Even for people who are huge Caruso fans, okay? That's a laughable comparison. But Caruso and Rondo have given the Lakers way more than Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, especially relative to what to the expectations. And so to have Rondo playing that way, it just widens the margin for error. It allows everybody else to maneuver around. And even if he's not making those outside shots, you know, he's not, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't say, but I don't think he's going to continue making those at that level. But
sure,
even if he's just playmaking, it takes pressure off of LeBron. It opens up so much more of their options offensively. And then, you know, you're not relying on KCP to go 4 of 8 from three. You're not relying on Kuzma to have an 18 or 20 point game if Rondo can give you a little bit offensively. His play has allowed the rest of the Lakers more wiggle room. And then you look at Anthony Davis and LeBron, the level that they're playing, which we expected. You put it all together, it's an incredible package. And then the one thing I thought they could do, Alan, was defend. And they started the bubble out awesome on defense.
They finished their seeding games not playing well. And I didn't know, but now their defense is right back where it was. I mean, the Clippers, as we continue the comparison, the Clippers' defense has gotten worse compared to the regular season. Now, being fair, Dallas is the number one of the best offenses in the league, and Denver is pretty potent. But like the Lakers were facing chopped liver with the Rockets, and they just made a couple of adjustments after two games, and they just put the Rockets right down into the dirt. Defensively taking teams to the ground. So, like, they look great. Maintaining is another thing. Rondo's got to continue to play this way or close to this level. But they have the look of a championship team right now. I mean, I think anybody would have to say that.
Brian, great stuff, man. And this is, I was so curious to get your opinion on just the remaining teams, but especially this Lakers team. And listen, I think the championship type of team that you're referring to, where if I compare it to the Clippers, you know, that killer instinct, where is it? They're blowing leads that they shouldn't be blowing. I always try to get a perspective where I feel like it's more a little bit more fair and balanced, because of course I am a Laker fan and I'm doing this in Los Angeles. But great insight as always, and I greatly appreciate you being a part of the show.
Thank you, and have a great week.
All right, that's Brian Windhorst right there. Listen, I got Wendy saying this. By the way, I got Laker fans that think that Windhorst is too critical about the Lakers. He says Lakers are underrated. How about that? Brian Windhorst thinks the Lakers are underrated. I spent all that time talking about, you know, the Clippers being overrated. Windhorst says the Lakers are underrated. I think one thing that Windhorst kind of keyed in on, which is incredibly important, and I probably didn't spend enough time doing it, and here I am. I got my final thoughts coming up next, but can we spend a little time talking about what these role players for the Lakers did in that Rockets series? Because I don't think I gave enough credit. And one role player specifically that I want to spend some time on, we'll do that coming up next. Plus, we will give some predictions to tomorrow's Clippers-Nuggets game. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, who do you want, Laker fans? Would you rather play the Clippers or the Nuggets? I don't even know what Laker fans want anymore. I think I just kind of have jumped into this Nuggets Nation, this surge that came out of nowhere. I'm right in the wave here. 877-710-ESPN. Do you have a preference? Do you want to play the Los Angeles Clippers, because that's the team that we're supposed to battle this season? This is kind of what the whole setup was. Kawhi Leonard chose the Clippers over the Lakers. Paul George, at the time, a couple years ago, chose the Thunder over the Los Angeles Lakers. And we know all the other storylines that go, the franchises, both teams here in L.A. Would you rather face the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, or do you want the Denver Nuggets? 877-710-ESPN as we get ready to really just, what's the right way to put this? Preview and see what happens? I mean, Lakers got to wait till Friday. Tomorrow's a good day for Laker fans. Tomorrow's a good day for NBA fans, because you get to kick back and not have to stress about anything. I might even be stressing over tomorrow's game. Why am I stressing during a Nuggets-Clippers game? Why am I stressing? What's the point of me stressing? I think it's going to be the Clippers. I think the Clippers will win tomorrow, and I think the Clippers will eventually play the Los Angeles Lakers. That's what I think is going to play out tomorrow. And then, of course, you had the Boston-Miami game. I'm going to go with the Miami Heat in that one. All right, we'll squeeze a couple of these phone calls in. Let's go with CJ calling in Alhambra. CJ, what's going on, man? Thank you for calling in.
Adam. So
Alan.
Just say it straight. I'm a Clipper fan.
Okay.
And I think you're getting it all wrong with the route that the Clippers have taken versus the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers have taken a route against opponents that are yesteryear. whereas the Clippers have taken a route against opponents.
CJ, it's very, very difficult to justify those blown leads. It really is. It's very difficult.
You guys went against who? The Portland Trailblazers.
CJ, I'm not trying to defend anything. What I'm just trying to tell you is the Los Angeles Clippers should not be, if you're a championship caliber team, and when I say they're overrated is because I have said they are a championship caliber team. When you're supposed to be that good, how you blowing 16-point, 19-point leads? That means there's either something wrong. You can't just be going through two bad games. There's something there. We'll see what happens. Maybe they close it up tomorrow in game seven, but you cannot find a way to justify what I'm saying and blame it on the Lakers. You just got to worry about the Clippers.
If I could.
Yes, you can.
Who's a more balanced team, the Houston Rockets or the Denver Nuggets?
I would say the... I would say the Denver Nuggets, but the Denver Nuggets are incredibly inexperienced compared to the Houston Rockets.
But they are of yesteryear.
Lakers, I mean, listen, Lakers dominated the Rockets, but nobody thought it was going to be a five-game series. I mean, I said it was going to be a five-game series. Not that I predict these very often and I get them right, but that's what I did think was going to happen. CJ, I appreciate you calling. I'm going to take some more calls, but let me say this at the end of the day to a Clipper fan that's out there. I'm not trying to hate on the Clippers. You're supposed to be this team that walked into this season. You're the big, bad team. You got... a lineup up and down. You got depth. You got 10 players. You got Montrezl Harrell. You got Williams. You got all these options on the bench as well. Clippers have blown 3 16-plus point leads this year in the postseason, and I don't like the comparisons of who the Lakers played and who the Clippers played. Clippers played a Dallas Mavericks team without Kristaps Porzingis for almost three games, I think 2.5 games, and they had to go six games to win that series. Why are they giving Denver life? Rob in L.A., who would you rather face, the Denver Nuggets or the Los Angeles Clippers?
Los Angeles Lakers.
Who would you rather face?
The Nuggets, of course. It's not even a question.
Okay. Keep going. Tell me why.
If you're a die-hard Laker fan, I go back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You want to destroy the Clippers any way you can.
Sure.
See, check this out. Mm-hmm. I think Paul George and Kawhi are on a two-year deal, or they could opt out the next 2 years.
Yeah, they'd sign three-year deals, and then there's an option on the final year.
This is an opportunity to blow the whole franchise back up and get them back in the position they're supposed to be, little baby brothers.
By the way, Rob, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm not even, you know, when I take these calls, I have this genuine curiosity of what, you know, Laker fans want to see. But I'm telling you, I don't go on the mic these last couple of days to grab a microphone and talk about the Los Angeles Clippers. All I'm doing is just pointing out the facts. That's all I'm doing. I even said to start off the show, I don't care the history of the Clippers. It's okay. Put all that to the side. The history has nothing to do with today. But today, how has this Clippers team allowed this series to go seven games? That's the part that I've had a difficult time kind of comprehending. And that's because I have this Los Angeles Clippers team. I just always thought it's going to be Lakers Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. And I said this before the series started, before this pass round started. I said, whoever comes out of the West between the Lakers and the Clippers, that's who's going to win an NBA championship. I think they're the 1-2 in the NBA. Solomon and Lake Balboa. Go ahead, bud. Solomon, Lake Balboa, line two. You're on the show. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, man.
You got it.
Mixed feelings. I tell you why. Of course I want to see the Clippers lose to Denver. It would be devastating. However, I do want to see the Clippers play. You know what I'm saying? And I'm also a little hesitant to actually wish for that, because when the Clippers are on,
sure,
that's a tough team, man.
Great potential. Great potential.
A tough team. And they should. I have a feeling in game seven, I think they're going to blow Denver off the court. I think they're due. There's too much talent to not play well. I might be wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, I'd be surprised if you are wrong. Solomon, thank you for calling in. 877-710-ESPN. All right, just got a couple minutes left here. Give me a second here. I got to plug some things real quick. You know, one of the things that I thought was such a key difference in that Rocket series, I thought was, we talk about some of the Lakers role players, and we talk about what they do, and we talk about what how important they could be to this Lakers team. And I remember, I think on Friday I did Lakers talk, and I said third most important player on this team is Rajon Rondo. How big was Rondo against the Houston Rockets? How big was Rajon Rondo in that series against the Rockets, games 2, 3, and 4? You know, I loved hearing Windhorst talk about how that was such a game changer, and it has nothing to do with him hitting jumpers. It has nothing to do with having 25 points or 20 points or whatever the case is. It's how he can control the flow of the game where LeBron doesn't have to do everything. I'm telling you, I getting a chance to watch, I love the NBA. It's by far my favorite sport. But getting a chance to watch just games over the years, those point guards that just set up other guys, the pass is just crisper, the timing is just better, you know where to hit them, they know their sweet spot. Rondo, just on the court, can make a difference for Kuzma, can make a difference for Danny Green, for KCP, for Markieff Morris, for all these players on this team. But Rondo deserves so much credit in that series against the Rockets. If we get that type of Rajon Rondo in the Western Conference Finals, I'm telling you, with what LeBron's doing, with what Anthony Davis is doing, with the way these Lakers have made these their adjustments, I've not felt this confident about this Lakers team even when we were back in the regular season. Usually as the playoffs progress, kind of find out a little bit more about this team. Do they have a killer instinct? Where are their holes? What are their weaknesses? I think I'm just finding more of the Lakers' strengths. Now listen, there's still a lot of tests to come, right? It's just the first two rounds. It's going to get tougher. They're going to face adversity at some point, and you know, it could be the difference of them continuing in this Orlando bubble, or if they don't meet that adversity, then they're, you know, out of the Orlando bubble and they don't get championship number 17. But I've never felt more confident about this team. And that's not based off of faith. It's based off of watching what we've seen over these last 10 games and, frankly, watching some of the competition as well. The competition has been the way they rolled through the Blazers, the way they rolled through the Rockets, and to see a team like the Clippers struggling right now against the Denver Nuggets, I think that has part to do with the confidence as well. Okay, I'm going to do a quick Lakers talk on our social platforms too following this show, so you can tune into all our ESPN Los Angeles platforms. We'll keep going on Lakers talk. Quick reminder, as always, tomorrow, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and Travis. They'll start at 5 a.m. in the morning, so you could feel free to tune into that. If you missed any part of this show, download the show on the ESPN app or on iTunes. By the way, we had Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. You can hear that full interview. We also had Brian Windhorst, who was complimenting the Lakers left and right, said the Lakers are actually underrated. So you could hear that entire interview as well. As always, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Lakers, and we don't know who against until after tomorrow, Western Conference Finals. That game will be on Friday. Enjoy the NBA games tomorrow. LA, as always, greatly appreciate you tuning in.